Well, praise God, man. I get the opportunity this morning to speak to you. Pastor Charlie's actually here, which is pretty cool, because usually when I get to speak, he's not here. So it really is just me. But so he just gets to kind of hang out today. We're going to try to get him saved, and we'll kind of move on with the service, you know? I'm just kidding. No, it really is a blessing to be able to speak to you, especially on Father's Day, man. Father's Day in my world is a big deal. It's pretty cool to be a father. And I think I've got some good stuff for you this morning that hopefully will be a blessing to your life. If you let it, this message just might transform your life. I'm learning. I'm catching it, man. We need to throw in something about Louisiana and crawfish, and I think I'm good. So Father's Day. When you think about Father's Day, immediately some things come to mind of what is a real father. You know, I'm not talking about like a sissy father. I'm talking about what does a real father look like? And immediately we have pictures in our mind, man, and they come up and they kind of look like this, you know? A real father. Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? More power. Yeah. So a real father maybe is somebody that can fix everything. You know, you break it, it doesn't matter what it is. A real father can fix everything. Knows his way around the tools and the hammer, never hits his thumb. You know, never hits his thumb. I'm just kidding. But can fix anything. Or maybe a real father looks like this. You know, the sports fanatic, right? Now, I don't know how long it took this guy to get dressed, but I'm guessing he's going to have a problem going to the bathroom at halftime. Just saying. But maybe a real father to you is somebody that knows, you know, the entire Colts lineup or the entire Cubs, you know, roster for the past 20 years. You can name them all, position, where they came from, all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's what a real father looks like. Or maybe a real father to you looks like this. Yeah, the Duck Dynasty guys. Maybe a real father is somebody who, you know, hangs out in the woods all the time and is just a manly man and shoots stuff and blows things up and doesn't even care, man. Just tears things up and it's all good. Maybe that's what a real father looks like. Or maybe a real father looks like this to you, you know? I was gonna put a picture of me on there, but I didn't want to intimidate anybody, so we'll use this guy instead. I'm just saying. So maybe a real father is somebody just who's ripped, can beat people up, you know, can handle himself. And maybe that's what a real father is. But I'll tell you this morning, man, I don't qualify for any of those pictures, right? I like sports. I'm not a sports fanatic. I can fix some things, you know, but some things I gotta call somebody, you know. I know a guy that can fix them. I'm just kidding. Or maybe, you know, exercising's cool, but I don't live in the gym by any means, in case you couldn't tell. Yeah. No way. So what is a real father? What is a real father? Well, first, before we talk about what a real father is, we need to talk about why is there a need for a father? Today's Father's Day, and we celebrate fathers. But why do we celebrate you? Why is it important? Why is there a need for fathers? Well, I came up with this chart, and it helps explain it, of why fathers are important. There's three things I think that fathers need to be, more than big muscles and being able to fix things and blowing stuff up in the woods. I think fathers need to be physically present, emotionally invested, and leading spiritually. I think if you can do those three things, you can be a superhero father to your family, to somebody else's family, to the community, to our culture. Our culture needs fathers. It needs fathers for sure. So what happens then is you need a balance of all three of these. But if you just have two of the three, you kind of run into a ditch, and I'll explain what I mean. If you have a father that's physically present and is emotionally invested, but there is no leading spiritually, well, that produces a confident child who thrives on the outside, but's dead on the inside. I mean, those are kids that don't know anything about church. They don't know anything about relationship with God. They don't know anything about what true love is really all about. They're dead on the inside because the father hasn't taken the opportunity to lead spiritually. So then if you take a father that is physically present and is leading spiritually, but there's no emotional investment at all, well, that produces a religious child who will eventually rebel. Man, we see that all the time. We see kids that are drugged to church. They're forced to memorize the Bible, you know, or forced to go to 20 vacation Bible schools, forced to do all kinds of things. But there's no emotional investment with dad. There's no, hey, son, how you doing? Hey, daughter, you know, how was your day today? It's all about, hey, did you read your Bible today? You know, or are you memorizing that verse? Or, you know, we're going to church whether you like it or not. That kind of idea. And that produces a religious child who eventually rebels. So then if you have an emotionally invested dad and a leading spiritually father, but one that's not physically present, well, that produces a physically insecure child who lacks a male role model. I think the perfect example of that is you have dads that, man, they will slave and work so hard at their job and make lots of money and provide things for their family, a ton of them. But that family is missing the most important thing. And that's that father being involved, being home, being invested into the family emotionally. So I think that physically present, emotionally invested, and leading spiritually are three keys we're going to talk about today of how to be a superhero father. And I've got some statistics for you, because how many of you know our culture, man, screams for fathers? It is so void of fathers. And statistics back that up. 24 million children in America live without a father in the home. I don't know about you, but I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the 24 million. That's a ton of kids. Now, before I get into statistics, I gotta say this, because I'm not out to offend single moms, all right? Single moms, we love you guys, man. We really do. We really do. And I'll tell you that you have embarked on probably the hardest journey that anybody could ever go through. Raising kids by yourself, man, that's tough. I know when Samantha's gone on vacation before and it's me and the kids at home, you know? We don't thrive, we just survive, right? You know, I make sure the kids have eaten, they got clothes on, and nobody's dead. And now we'll call it quits there. You know, it's pretty good. Single moms, man, I don't know how single moms do it. With running here and there, with loving on their kids, with taking care of all of their needs. Man, that's tough. That's tough. And we at Abundant Life, man, we are for you. We tell you, go on with your bad self, man. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing an awesome job. Because kids need a healthy, godly parent in their lives. But I'll tell you this morning that God's best, the way that God designed the family, is to have a mother and a father in the home. That's how things function the best. And statistics that I'll read to you in just a minute, man, they bear that out. So single moms, I'm not hating on you. Single dads, I'm not hating on you, all right? But let me tell you what statistics say. Children born to single moms show higher levels of aggressive behavior than children born to married moms with fathers. No father in the home equals higher delinquent juveniles, higher odds of incarceration, higher rates of teen pregnancy, sexual activity, and even higher rates of obesity. Yeah. Consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all of the social issues facing America today. But the hope lies in the fact that children with involved fathers do better across every measure of child well-being than their peers in father-absent homes. And all of those statistics come from the National Fatherhood Initiative. I didn't make them up. I could have, but I didn't make them up. I'm just kidding. So those are legit, man. Our culture, our world needs fathers in it. And you say, well, why? Why do we need fathers? Well, it even bears, fathers are important in our lives. They're important even in the animal kingdom. And so I've racked my brain all week to think about what is the best, coolest father animal that I could think of that would represent us well, right? And this is what I came up with. An elephant, yeah. Yeah, big guy, you don't mess with elephants, right? You don't mess with elephants. Big, tear stuff up, they don't even care, man. They don't even care. So there's a story that talks about, they did some research in Africa and with this group of elephants, and the government got involved in this research, which should tell you something, and it went sideways and it got all jacked up. So what the government decided to do is they decided that they were gonna thin the herds of the elephants. And so in doing that, they removed all of the big old bulls, the big male elephants out of the herds, and they left the mamas and these young baby elephants. And so the baby elephants grew up pretty much kind of orphans with a mom, but the herd is kind of all jacked up now. So they found that as these baby elephants grew up, that they were acting a little odd. So these baby elephants grew up, they're teenager elephants now, and they are running kind of where they're not supposed to go, and they would find these white rhinos, and they would knock these white rhinos over, and they would gore them to death. They were killing all these white rhinos, and they were just destroying stuff, which is very odd for elephant behavior, not what they normally do. So the researchers said, what is going on? Like, we can't figure out, why are they doing this? This is not what they're supposed to be doing. And then somebody got the bright idea, well, let's put back in those big daddy bull elephants and let's see what happens there. And how many of you know when there's problems and then you introduce the big daddy bull elephants, things get fixed, right? Yeah. No longer are the teenagers running crazy goring white rhinos. Now big daddy bull elephant is putting people back in their place and order is restored in the herd. Fathers are important, even in the animal kingdom. Even in the animal kingdom. And I think about, even in my life, man, I've got three kids. I've got a 7-year-old daughter, a 6-year-old son, and then a 2-year-old son. And we'll be getting ready to go somewhere, and we'll ask the kids, you know, hey, go get in the van, we're gonna go somewhere. How many of you dads rock a minivan? Oh, man, come on. I'm the only, okay, thank you. I think it makes me feel better. I asked that question Saturday night. Nobody raised their hand. It's just me. Well, whatever. Praise God for you today. I'm glad you're here. Praise God for you. All right, so we have a minivan at our house, right? Better than a 15-passenger van. We don't need one of those. Minivan. So we asked the kids, hey, go get in the van. We're going to go to the store, you know, or hey, we're going to come to church or whatever. So Tabitha and Levi, man, they'll go out, get in their seat, buckle up, no problems. Luke is two. Luke will go out to the van. He'll get in the van, but he doesn't get in his seat. He gets in the driver's seat, and he pushes all kinds of buttons. He's got the windshield wipers going. Music's playing, like, Spanish music, I don't know. And we have the air and the heat on at the same time, and he's got every button and dial twisted and pulled, and the van is ready to, like, rocket into space. Like, that's where we're headed, I think. So Samantha comes out, and she says, Luke, you know, I need you to get in the van. Go ahead and get in your seat. Luke, please get in your seat. And praise God for moms. Moms are the most loving, patient, compassionate people on the planet. All right? So he gets lots of opportunities with mom. Luke, I'm going to count. 5, 4, right? Luke's still pushing buttons. He doesn't care. He's not doing that. Now, just like the daddy bull elephants, I show up. Things are changing very quickly. Pastor Charlie talks about, you know, being in the military, the Army Rangers, you know. Problem solved, problem staying solved, Rangers lead the way. That's the motto, right? Well, I think in my home, it's problem solved, problem staying solved, fathers lead the way. That's how things roll in my house. So I grab that boy out of the front seat, and I physically put him in his seat. And it's on now. Like, he's struggling and fighting. But for now, I'm way bigger and stronger than he is. Now, when he's 15, hopefully we won't have this problem. I don't know what's going to happen then. So I put him in his seat, man, and I buckle him up, and he is in his seat where he's supposed to be. Right? Problem solved. Problem staying solved. Dads, we establish peace in the home. We fix problems. That's right. By any means necessary. Now, he may cry for the next 10 minutes and fuss and scream and not be happy that he's in his seat. But in my world, I solved the problem. He's in his seat. We can move on with our day. Mom, on the other hand, man, she would like for him to do it, and she's so patient and kind with him. And there needs to be a balance of the two. But I'm here to tell you this morning that fathers, you play such an important role in your families. You play such an important role in our culture that sometimes, man, we don't even realize it. Sometimes problems need solved by dad. And that's just how it needs to be. So we talked about, there are three things I think that I want you to grab a hold of this morning and put into your life of how to be a superhero father. And the first one that I want to talk about is, fathers, we need to be physically present in the home. And that sounds as easy as it's written on that board. Physically present. Be around. That doesn't mean that you have to play kickball with your kids every afternoon. It doesn't mean that you have to go and take them and buy them, you know, buckets of ice cream every time or whatever. Just be in the home. Be there. Be walking around. Be the kind of guy, you know, that they have to wait on to go into the bathroom because you're in it, you know? Be that kind of guy. Be physically present in your home. It's so important. The Bible talks about, and it shares a story of a father who was not physically present, who wasn't in the home, and what happened as a result of that. So I'll give you the before the scenes, and then we'll pick up reading it. In the land of Israel, there was a priest, and his name was Eli. And Eli had two sons. And the Bible talks about how Eli needed to be a father to his sons. But there was a problem, because his sons were all jacked up. They were crazy. So let me read you this real quick. 1 Samuel 2, 22 through 24. Now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. That's bad news. Eli said to them, "I've been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you're doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good." Now, it's one thing to say something to your kids. It's another thing to be physically present and change things. And Eli just chose to talk to his sons. He hadn't been physically present while they were growing up. He had given his life to the Lord. He was a priest. He was busy there. But his sons needed him. His sons needed him. And this is how this story ends up. It says, "I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't," what is this word? "Discipline them." Yeah, yeah. Fathers, we carry a unique role in discipline. Moms can discipline, but there's nothing like dad getting involved in some discipline. Good, bad, and ugly of that, right? You know, when I was a kid, my mom used to always be like, "You wait till your dad gets home." And I was like, "Ah, oh, I wish he would just tell me what I need to do. I don't need dad," you know? But dads, man, we carry the role of being a protector of the home. We carry the role of being physically present, and that includes discipline. That includes discipline, and the Bible talks about discipline as well. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." We want to train our kids to love God. We want to give them the opportunity, man, to fall in love with God and to have him be a part of their lives. But we also don't want to provoke our children to wrath. So you say, well, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? If there was a TOEFL Amplified Bible, I hear that's pretty cool around here, the Charlie Riley yeah, this is what it would say. Provoke, the word provoke means to govern and discipline them so they do not lose their confidence in you, but they love you. Don't do any discipline in anger when it's fresh. All right, time out. That's hard. That's hard, man. It's hard when I know that one of my kids does something and I want to correct it immediately, but I'm frustrated and I'm upset with them. And sometimes I'll tell you, man, I'll stand here today and I'll tell you, I don't do that all as perfect. Sometimes I get angry with my kids and I discipline them too. And then the bummer is I've got another layer underneath Tabitha and Levi, and his name is Luke. And so sometimes I see Levi, my middle son, treat Luke pretty rough. You know, he's short with him, or he'll you know, purposely aggravate him, or something happens there. And I think, Levi, why are you doing that? Why are you treating him that way? And then I have to say, whoa, time out. Man, I showed him how to do that. I treated you that way, didn't I? Yeah, yeah. So we have talks in our home about, hey, I didn't do that right. Don't follow me. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. But it talks about, man, don't discipline your kids in anger. Calm down and then discipline and teach them. Don't just punish them. Because what you'll do if you'll teach your kids to discipline in anger, every time you're angry, you come and you discipline them, you punish them. You'll teach them that it's okay to lord over somebody when you're angry, because that's what you're doing to your children. So then as they grow up, they'll find people that they're stronger than, that they can lord over, and they'll be angry with. And you'll think, oh my gosh, why are you doing this? Well, you taught them that. You taught them it was okay. You taught them this is the way you do discipline. You get angry and then you whoop them. You know? That's not what we're after. Not what we're after. It's okay to whoop your kids. It's okay to punish your kids. But don't do it while you're fuming mad. Calm down. Take a breath. Take 30 seconds to go walk somewhere. Calm down and then come back and use it as a teaching moment. Don't provoke your kids to wrath, to anger. Yeah, that'll be a blessing to somebody. All right, so three ways to be a superhero dad. We talked about being physically present is the first one. The second one that I've got for you today is be emotionally invested. And I know what you're thinking. I know. When I put the slides together, I thought about it too. Like, whoa, time out. Emotionally invested? TOEFL. Emotions are for ladies, right? I'm a dude. I'm a father. There's no emotions going on here. You know, I love my family. That's about the only emotion I got. Well, there's other ones, but we won't talk about those right now. Emotionally invested, man. It's important for you to be emotionally invested in your family, in your community, in the ball team that you coach, man. And here's why. You think about emotions and we think, ah, those are for the ladies. You know, they cry or they, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, but so do guys. And even Jesus did. And here's this story. Oh, wait. I got to give you the background first, sorry. Or you're going to read the slide and not listen to me. I'm onto something. So we have a guy in the story named Jesus. We have three other people that are all related. We have a guy named Lazarus, and we have a lady named Mary and a lady named Martha. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were brothers and sisters. They were all family. And Jesus was close to this family. So in the story, Lazarus gets sick and he dies. And everybody in the family is upset, and then Jesus comes and is upset too. So we'll pick it up there. All right, so John 11:32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down on his feet saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus, what does that say? Jesus wept, man. Jesus cried. Jesus was emotionally invested with this family. That when Lazarus passed away, it hurt him. He cried. So guys, I tell you today, man, if you need to cry, it's okay. Jesus did. Jesus did. And if somebody asks you why you're crying, you just tell them, "Hey, I'm trying to be like Jesus." All right? I'm just kidding. Hey, also, if you're ever doing like trivia, Jeopardy, you know, whatever, and you need to know the shortest verse in the Bible, that's it right there, all right? Two words, Jesus wept. So take that home. That'll be a blessing to you. If you don't remember anything else today, you remember that Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible. Yeah, for sure. So being emotionally invested, what does that look like? Well, it literally means caring for what my kids care about, caring for what my family cares about. And here's the example. How many of you have ever shot a Nerf gun in your house? Inside. Oh yeah, their hands all over the place. All over the place. Yeah. In my house, man, we have Nerf guns. We bought some for Christmas. We have Nerf wars sometimes. And on my own, I'm not sure that I would enjoy Nerf guns just me at home by myself. I don't run around shooting Nerf guns in my home, you know? But when the kids are there, man, and I make it a point to care about what they care about, and they love shooting me with Nerf guns. Not so much Samantha, it's usually me, but I kind of egg it on because I'll tell them, they'll say, "Hey dad, you know, can we play Nerf guns or can we do something?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "Here's the deal though. If you shoot me with one of those guns, I'm coming after you, just so you know. And it's not going to be pretty." They know that I'm kidding. I'm not going to hurt my kids. So, of course, all the darts come to me. And we run around the house and we're jumping over stuff and we're having a good time shooting Nerf guns. I care about what my kids care about. How many of you have ever wrestled outside, you know, maybe inside on the couch with your kids? Oh, yeah, man. Boys love that stuff. Love that stuff. Just the other day, Levi and I, man, we were on the trampoline. We were jumping, and the jumping on the trampoline turned into, we took our shirts off and we wrestled. Now, I'm way bigger than him. He's only 6. So I'm whooping him. You know, I got him all like twisted up. His face is like all smashed in the trampoline, and I got him. And he's like, "Dad, you're hurting my arm." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll let go a little bit." And I'm like, "You give up?" And he's like, "No way, no way." And then I think, man, this thing is rigged. There's no way I can win this. You know, he's going to say, "Dad, stop." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Bud, you're not going to give up." Yeah, yeah. I care about what my kids care about. I'm not going home by myself, taking my shirt off, jumping on the trampoline. You know, that's not what I think is an awesome, cool time. But because my son loves to do that, man, I'm game up. I'm in. Count me in. That's emotionally invested father. I'm in. Let's do it. I think of another example of home. I have a daughter and a son that both are into stuff that they like. And so we have a collection in our home of, you know, Barbie dolls and the shoes and the dresses and the, I don't know, accessories. How about that? Accessories. And then we also have a collection of the Avengers in our home. So in our home, you know, when we all play sometimes Sabbath and Levi play together. And I, of course, you know, I'm emotionally invested. So, hey, count me in. What can I be a part of? And so they have, Tabitha will have like Captain America with this Barbie doll girlfriend, you know, and they're going to the store. And then here comes the Hulk, you know, and the Little Mermaid in a car, you know, because they're married. And we got all kinds of stuff going on. And I'll tell you, by myself at home, I don't play with those dolls. Let me say that one more time. By myself at home, because I want to make sure you're clear. I don't play with those dolls by myself. I don't. Not even a little bit. I'll step on them. That's what I'm just kidding. But man, when my kids are there, absolutely. Let's play house or dolls or let's play Avengers or let's wrestle. Let's shoot Nerf guns. Emotionally invested in my family. When they come home from things, it's not like, hey, good to see you. It's, hey, Levi, man, tell me about how was swimming this week? They took swimming lessons. How was swimming lessons, man? Tell me about what are you guys working on? How did you do? You didn't drown. That's cool. You know, that idea, you know, can you jump off the side? You know how to swim? It's more than just, hey, how are you? Good. Okay. I'm going to move on with my day. I'm emotionally invested with them, but that takes time. And the cool part about kids is they love for fathers to do that. They love for fathers to do that. But here's the deal. They won't initiate it. They won't come home unless you have a daughter who likes to share lots of details. They won't come home and just tell you about their day. They won't come home and just say, hey, let's go play Barbie dolls and Avengers in the bedroom. I have to bring that stuff up. Hey guys, let's go do something together. What do you want to do? You want to shoot Nerf guns? You don't want to jump on the trampoline? Let's go do something. As a father, man, you have to take the initiative to get involved with your kids. You have to take the initiative to care about what they care about. As a coach of a baseball team, you have to take the initiative to get involved in those kids' worlds more than just, hey, I need you to go play right field for me. Hey, I need you to go play right field, but before you do, how's your week been? Are you glad you're out of school? How's your summer, man? What are you and your family up to? Emotionally invest, because as a father, we do that like nobody else. We were created to do that. And when we do that, man, kids, our culture, families, they eat that stuff up. They eat that stuff up. So we want to be physically present. We want to be emotionally invested. And then lastly, we want to lead. We want to be leading spiritually. We want to lead spiritually. And I think of the three, I think this one is probably where guys get the most gun shy. Because they think, you know, church, man, I don't know about church. Church is all set up for ladies. You know, you come into a nicely decorated building. You know, there's little foo-foo stuff, decorations down the hallway. You know, we have coffee and donuts. You know, if it was for guys, we'd have like chicken wings and Mountain Dew down there or something, you know? Or there'd be like deer heads hanging down the hallway. You know, like, hey, welcome to church. You know, where a guy feels at home. There may be some sawdust on the floor, you know, because we've been working on stuff or whatever. Leading spiritually. You gentlemen are the head of your home, physically and spiritually. Absolutely. I told him Saturday night, man, it's like a pack of ducks, a flock of ducks, not a pack, flock of ducks. It's like a flock of ducks, and you're the lead duck, so you have to break the wind for everybody else. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I said it. Guys, you have permission to break the wind, all right? All right, come to Abundant Life, break the wind, cut the cheese, whatever you want to call it, you do it. It's okay. Leading spiritually. Leading spiritually. So look at this verse. This helps explain it some too. It says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Psalms 103:13. We want to show compassion to our kids, but here's the reason why. Whether you realize it or not, fathers, whether you realize it or not, men, you represent to your children God. You didn't do anything for that. You didn't create that. That's how this thing is set up. You represent God to your family, to your kids. So when you show your kids compassion, they think that God is compassionate. When you're mean and nasty and angry to your kids all the time, they think that God is mean, nasty, and angry all the time. When you bless your kids with stuff just because, hey, we're going to get some ice cream. Why? Because I like ice cream and let's go get some. You know, they think that God's the same way. You represent God in the home. So how you treat your family, how you treat your kids is the perspective they'll have of how God treats us and how he loves us, or how maybe he doesn't love us, or maybe his love is conditional, you know, because dad likes me when I hit a home run on the baseball team, but when I come home and my room's not clean, he lets me have it. You know, that can be their perspective of how God is. Yeah. So leading spiritually is simply, and it can be as simple as, if you have a kid in kids ministry this morning, you can lead them spiritually. And here's how. In kids ministry, they're doing a lesson right now. They're learning about something, learning about Jesus, learning about Noah in the ark, we'll say. So you come to your kid, you go pick them up from kids ministry with your little ticket, or they won't give you your kid. You got to have the right number, matching up. And you come and you say, hey, you know, Levi. Hey, Levi, how was class today? Oh, it was good. You ate goldfish today? Okay, that's cool. And they gave you a sucker? Man, it's a pretty good deal. Now, here's how we lead spiritually. You ready? Levi, what'd you guys talk about today in class? Oh, you talked about Noah and the ark. Man, that's a cool story, huh? Tell me about what you know about Noah and the ark. Oh, yeah, there were a lot of animals. Yeah. Yeah, man, I bet that boat stunk. What do you think? You think that boat stunk with all those animals on there? Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe you have teenagers. Maybe you don't have young kids. Maybe you have teenagers and they come home from school one day and they say, Dad, help me figure this thing out, because at school today we talked about evolution. You know, and I know that sometimes in the Bible it talks about creation and where the zoo to the goo to you, like how does all that stuff work? I said that backwards, the goo to zoo to you. But anyway, how does all that work? Like why do we believe the Bible? Like why do we believe that God created us and not the other thing? Well, you have two responses there. As a father, you can either say, well, here's why, and you can explain it. Or sometimes as dads, man, we don't know. My kids will ask me questions. I have no idea. What does the Bible say about this? I don't know. So I don't leave it there. It's not, I don't know. We'll never know. It's, hey, I don't know. Let's find out. Let's look it up together. Let's figure it out. Let's Google it. Let's get into the Word and see, what does the Bible say about having a tattoo? What does the Bible say about God loving me? And you can answer those questions as a father. And you can learn and grow with your kids as a father. You can lead them spiritually. Because as a father, that's how we can become superhero dads, for sure. So the Bible also talks about in Malachi 4:6. It says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So I want to tell you today, man, that Father's Day, we usually hear about, you know, love your kids, love your wife, be kind to them. Man, I'm telling you, Father's Day is so much bigger than just your kids, than just your family. Father's Day is you being involved in being a coach on a baseball team. Father's Day is you being involved in maybe kids ministry down there. There are a lot of kids down there that they don't have dads. They would love for a father to come down there and love on them. And you can. As men, we were all created to be fathers. So whether you have a kid that's yours this morning, or whether you don't have a kid that's yours, whether you're, you know, 16 years old, or whether you're, you know, 75 years old, you can still be a father. Children need fathers, and fathers need children. They don't necessarily have to be yours. Now, don't go steal somebody's kid, all right? It's not what I'm telling you to do. But go and make an impact into somebody else's life. Go be physically present with somebody. Go be emotionally invested, and go lead them spiritually. Maybe while, you know, you're on the baseball field, maybe a kid scrapes his knee sliding into second. Well, put a Band-Aid on it and maybe ask him, hey, can I pray for your knee? I guarantee you that kid will be like, yeah, sure. Lead them spiritually. It doesn't take you sitting down and having a huge Bible study with them. Just lead them spiritually. Pray for them. Do something small. In my family, man, I've taken leading spiritually and I've had to figure out, okay, how do I make it me? How do I make it me? You know, my family, we're not sitting down, you know, reading like chapters of the Bible at one time or whatever. So I've come up with this idea, and you're welcome to use this. It's not copyrighted. But if you want to pay me for it, that's cool too. I'm just kidding. So what we do is we get together every evening. We get the kids, they put their pajamas on, they brush their teeth, and then they come and sit on the couch in the front room. Tabitha, Levi, Luke. So Samantha and I come out there. We all sit down, and we start, and this is intentional. It's me leading spiritually on purpose. I have to initiate this. I have to initiate this as a father. So I say, Levi, tell me about the best part of your day. Tell me about the best part of your day. We do this every night. Tell me about the best part of your day. And he may say, well, it was this part. And then I'll say, okay, Tabitha, tell me about the best part of your day. Luke, tell me about the best part of your day. Samantha, what was the best part of your day? Hers is usually something like, I'm excited to go to bed in just a little bit because I'm worn out. I'm just kidding. And then I share the best part of my day with them too. And it's usually something that we've all done together. And then we take turns. So I'll start one night, and then the next night maybe Samantha will go, and the next night Tabitha will go, and we pray for our family. We just say like a 2-minute prayer, and it's nothing super spiritual. It sounds like this. God, thank you for our family. Thank you for a good day today, Lord. God, we thank you for letting us have fun. God, we thank you that, you know, Tabitha had fun doing this and Levi had fun doing that. And God, I pray that you would help us to sleep well tonight. Give us good, peaceful rest. And Father, we look forward to a good day tomorrow. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And then Luke yells, amen. He screams it every time. That's it. And then they go to bed. We go hug and kiss them, tell them good night. That's it. Find a time, fathers, to find your children sometime during the day and pray for them. And it doesn't have to be a super spiritual moment, man. It can be while they're eating their bowl of Wheaties. You know, nobody eats Wheaties anymore. While they're eating their bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you know, or Cocoa Rice Krispies. Maybe it's something there of like, hey, you know, before you eat your cereal, let me pray for you real quick. Let me bless your day. Before you go off to school, let me bless your day. Or when they come home, you know, whatever. Lead them spiritually. Do something. Don't just sit there and assume that your wife or this lady is going to take care of all of that. You as the man were made to lead spiritually. God created you for that. So do something. Do something. Absolutely. So I think about being a superhero dad. And sometimes, man, it doesn't take the biggest, strongest, craziest dad to impact your kids' lives. Sometimes it's just a normal average dude, but can make a huge impact. Huge impact to be a superhero dad. And I believe that you can too. So I want you to watch this video and see these guys tear up some superhero dads. Normal guys, just living life, being with their family, and they save the day. Those kids in those videos will never know that dad saved the day for them. They'll never know what could have been because dad was there. Be that kind of father. Be the kind of dad that, man, I'm there. You know, I take care of what I need to take care of. I'm physically present. I'm emotionally invested. And I lead spiritually. And that's just how we do life. Be a superhero to your family. And if you're a dad in here, if you're a man in here that doesn't have kids, man, find some kids to impact. Find some kids to be a godly man to. Because our culture is looking for it. Absolutely.